In 32 lecture, the ongoing topic is has to do with fetishes and charms, the objects that we're still on. And I thought I would just read a little story from one of my former students in Chad. He says, last Tuesday, we picked up our vehicle and drove it back to our homes, to our home city. As soon as we pulled in the yard, one of our guards asked Tim if this was our new vehicle. As soon as Tim said yes, the guard proceeded to fake spit. See? Along the vehicle doors. He explained that this would keep the car from accidents and that Tim should give him a gift. A gift of narcotic leaf that he likes to chew as payment for his service. The next day, another man explained to Tim that everyone throws a big party when they buy a new car. They slaughter goats so that people come and eat the meat and pray for safety on the road. Later that day, Tim asked our house helper about this party idea, and she further added that the people also break an egg on the new car for good luck, see? And Tim tried to say that we trust in God, not a broken egg, but the house helper quickly responded, of course. But you also break an egg. Now, I'm not sure exactly what she meant, but see, they can't quite understand us, can we? In other words, and when we're working among Muslims, even I suppose some of the things that we do could be misinterpreted. So we have to watch our step. Not that we live on pins and needles, but that we're just be aware of the world view and be aware of some of these things before we even get there. Tim and Jen are trying to fit in here, but in that country, but you know, it is difficult. I shouldn't have said Chad. It's not Chad. And I won't mention what country it is. But let's continue on then as to what Muslims do for protection. Well, in provision, the provision that is often used is the verse 2 and 255. You see, this is a great, great verse for protecting yourself from, you know, harm. And this is called the throne verse. Surat al, not Surat, but the Ayah al-Kursi. Kursi is the word for throne, also the word for chair. Ayah al-Kursi, 2 and 255. And it's a long, long verse. It says, who can intercede? But as he permits, you know, see, that's always the camel gets his head in the tent through that, as he, in other words, as he God permits. But in the middle of the verse, it says, except as he, his throne doth extend. That's the throne verse. Got to remember that, you know, in Islam, God is king, isn't he? He's not father, he's king. And it's a good thing to be king. I mean, God is king, there's no question. But the fact that God, you see, is king, he's sitting on his throne, and we use that verse as a protective charm, see. Another one is reciting the second surah, which is called Baqarah. It's a long, long surah, long, long chapter. It's called the Heifer. You might wonder why that is, why they're given such names. Others would say the cow. But remember that something in that chapter mentions the heifer or the cow or something like that. And so that's how the surah got its name. One idea is that if you recite the second surah at night, it gives Allah's protection from jinn until the morning. Well, you would also be interested in having some kind of, Quranic reading to forgive your ancestors. And the deterrent to diseases is 113. Remember, we just read that a minute ago, 113 and 114 in the last lecture. power to counteract psychic affliction. You know, mental disorders are troubling in the Muslim world and troubling to everyone, particularly when you think of the fact of the trauma. Think of the trauma that's going on in Muslim circles right now. Great trauma has occurred in Afghanistan and now Syria and people and children. In other words, you know, psychic affliction is a horrible thing. What do Muslims do? Oftentimes they are turning to the Quran in their desperation. But what a, you know, what a hopeless thing to do, to turn to the Quran, to something like that for help and healing. In other words, it's you pray that God would bring real hope, the hope of the gospel, through to Muslims who are so troubled by the things that are going on. Now, a morning recitation, and remember that that's what Quran means. Quran is ikra, the recitation, so that's really what it is. And, you know, Muslims, they memorize it and recite it. A morning recitation of 94, that's Surah 94, the name of which is Al-Shar, would be helpful, or another name for that surah. And sometimes these surahs are given two names. It's another one is Al-Inshara. What does it mean? Well, it means expansion of the breast. If you look, and I wanted to take you back to the introduction here in Yusuf Ali. He says, this short surah, that is now the introduction to 94, and they have a, you know, he gives an introduction to each chapter. This short surah gives a message of hope and encouragement in time of darkness and difficulty. It was revealed to the Holy Prophet soon after the last surah, Al-Duha, whose argument it supplements. The Prophet's mind and heart had indeed been expanded and purified. The burden which pressed on his soul had been removed, and his name exalted in this world and the next. For this, the righteous man, there is no trouble. Now, this goes back to the history, and Muhammad at one time, according to the tradition, angel cut him open, took out a black spot, and they call that the expansion of the breast. So I guess that's why it is considered to be a surah of hope, Al-Shar or Al-Inshira. Now, excuse me, another one is 105, and that's called Al-Fil, the elephant. Got to know a little history here, too, because in the year that Muhammad was born, that is 570, supposedly, there was an army coming up from the south to make war against Mecca, and they were traveling on elephants. And then, according to traditions and so on, the legend, some birds came along and disrupted the whole party, and so the whole thing fell through. So that's mentioned in the Quran 105, and so possibly that's the reason, because, you know, if God can do something like that, he can obviously protect us as well. See the point? And then Surah 72, which is al-jinn, the jinn, that's used to protect against evil jinn. You know, all jinn are not evil, but some of them are, and so we need protection against them. Here are some amulets with verses from the Quran. It doesn't, of course, they're not quite clear what they are, but that's basically what these amulets are, verses from the Quran that Muslims would use for protection. You have verses for protection from the Quran from various and sundry other problems. For headaches, interesting. Who doesn't get headaches? Well, one verse is 6 and 13. To him belongs all that dwells in the night and the day. Miserable headaches. You know, some people have migraine headaches. Well, what are you going to do? Don't always have ibuprofen and Advil and stuff like that. And so Muslims do resort to this kind of protection, protection against slander. And the verse there, 36, 65 through 66, that day we, meaning God, set a seal on their mouths. We, remembering that we is here the plural of majesty in Arabic, we set a seal on their mouths. That verse seems to me to be pretty precise and clear, so I can see how that would be hope that that would protect from slander. Now here's one for toothache. Whoever reads 94 or 105 in the morning prayers will never suffer pain in his teeth. Comes out of Samuel Zwemer. Remembering those two suttas that we talked about last lecture, 94 and 95, both of them supposedly in reference to Muhammad. All right, toothache. And then 114 in a box with valuables, presumably, you know, something like jewelry. Well, how do you protect the jewelry? You do it through magic. And another verse, 2 and 267, just a portion of it, Allah is free of all wants. So, in other words, jewelry is pretty valuable. Put in there the short verse of Allah is free of all wants. He doesn't want anything, so why should anyone want the jewelry? Another one is supposed to keep out moths, and 15 and to 16, it says, Allah will throw back their mockery on them and give them hope in their trespasses, so shall they wander like a bird. Now, I'm not sure the relevance of that, but, you know, it's lots of verses that Muslims are using for various and sundry problems. And here are a few references from the Hadith, and we're talking about Mishkat here, to illustrate what we're saying. Abu Huwaira, and this is often the person through whom the tradition came, reported God's messenger saying, do not make your houses graveyards. The devil flies from the house in which Surah Al-Baqarah is recited. And so Abu Huwaira reported it, and Muslim transmitted it. So you see, you shouldn't only find this in Mishkat, which is not one of the canonized sets. In fact, it's one of the it's the six that are canonized, but a lot of them are the same. In other words, Muslim transmitted it, so you should find it in Muslim as well, Al-Muslim as well as Al-Bukhari. Abu Umama said he heard God's messenger say, recite the Quran, for on the day of resurrection it will come as an intercessor for those who recite it. And recite the two shining ones, specifically, you know, two, Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Imran. Imran comes from the name, by the way, who is the father, I believe, of Moses and Aaron, as well as Miriam. So the two shining ones, those two surahs are pretty powerful suttas. And then here's another one, Mishkat, volume 1, page 451. Aisha said, and who's Aisha? Aisha is also one through whom many traditions come. Every night when the Prophet went to his bed, he joined his hands like this, if you can see them, breathed into him, reciting into them, and says, he is God, one. I seek refuge in the Lord of the dawn, and say, I seek refuge in the Lord of men. Then he would wipe as much as his body he could with his hands, beginning with his head, his face, and the front of his body, doing that three times. And that is Bukhari and Muslim. So there is this I guess this magical part of it. Now, you know, I don't see anything wrong with holding your hands out like that to receive the blessing, but I don't think that there is a magical effect in doing that. Now, there are Quranic amulets that are used against the evil eye, and we've talked about this before, haven't we? We've mentioned that in this famous amulet here, in the center is Quran, Surah 68, 51 through 52. On the margins, there are, you know, certain parts of the Quran. And then in the four declarations in the corners that we've talked about before, Quran 112 through 114. So this is a famous amulet in the Middle East against the evil eye. Maybe someday you'll see this in person, rather than just hearing about it in Islam through the spirit world of Islam. Wouldn't that be something? So keep your eyes open. And then, as we mentioned before, there is, if you look close, there is Ali at the top. So here there's something you see in this one here for everyone, Ali being the favorite among the Shiites.